Jumping off an hour or two here of sports talk on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, quite animated during the break, along with NFL and college football.
I'm going to tell you what I'm animated about.
Okay, go ahead. Garrick, Charlie Long, I'm Master Control. Cannon, go.
I'm going to tell you why I'm animated, because I've never witnessed this in my lifetime or my previous life. Or
your previous life.
Whether you believe in reincarnation or whatever, or anything that has come about when in these parts, in the Bayou region, they've never had this kind of significance in the same season. And that being Vanderbilt Catholic High School in Houma, winning a state championship in baseball, and the South Terrebonne Gators on the Grand Bois Road in Berg. You know, they beat my school. Coach O and I said this is the best baseball program ever Salafouche has ever had. And South Terrebonne beat them. So, you know, we're trying to raise money like Hurricane Ida and all that. How? Listen, I majored in marketing. I got so much damn common sense, it's crazy. How could you not somehow check your ego at the door and play a 2 out of 3 series, a fundraiser? Because they all play American Legion against one another. The top players, they all know one another. You're all in the same region because it's basically Houma. You know, Berg, Houma, it's all the same people. To play a game at Nichols State, and if you're the Nichols State baseball coach, all since Nichols State first came into existence, post-World War II, Francis T. Nichols, when it became a university, they've never had in the same region, 2 state baseball champions. So to me, how can you not have an exhibition and play the best 2 out of 3? And I was talking to Mike about this, the Nichols State, the facilities, the baseball atmosphere. The community would support that. And then you can raise money and you help, because the adversity they face with Hurricane Ida, both South Terrebonne and Vanderbilt, to be state champs, you look at St. Charles, but I'm talking about this in the same region, and to play one another right now. You could have this over a long weekend. It could be a long weekend, and listen, we all were trying to come up with ideas. How do you fundraise? How do you help out communities? Well, to me, that would be a no-brainer. Right there, neutral side in Thibodaux, you got Vanderbilt Catholic against South Terrebonne to play one another, both state champs. Listen,
the Bayou Brawl.
A great name, Bayou Brawl.
I would do it better than that. My thing is, if you're going to do a 2 out of 3 there, you bring in St. Charles Catholic and Letcher, state champions. You got 4 state champions.
Oh, that's even better.
Okay.
We can even raise more money.
Because LaPlace in that area, and we saw it because we lived there, and we saw bits and parts of what happened in LaPlace because we have homes. In Lafourche, we saw what Lafourche and Terrebonne went through.
Right.
But LaPlace caught it bad, too. Really bad. So, man, that would be a great idea to have these 4 state champs in a weekend series, 2 out of 3.
And they all within proximity of, like, it's like when you think about it, they were playing one another. It's not a far bus ride. And you're all going to meet at Thibodaux. That's kind of a central point at Nichols State. That would help Nichols State and their baseball program, you know, Southland Conference, to have that. I don't know. I mean, you know, whether it's Thibodaux Regional, Terrebonne, the medical out there, that somebody could sponsor this and get this going, because to me, this might not never happen again. Think about
in our lifetime.
think about the significance of that. Your baseball programs are the best of the best. And in the same year, all in the same year, not like, 1 year and then 5 years later. No, all in the same year, and you all face the same adversity. This is like a damn movie.
My biggest takeaway from all this is your previous life. You remember your previous life?
Yeah, tell me about how you set up those baseball tournaments in a previous
in a previous life would be like something you had a dream.
So it's not necessarily reincarnation.
It could be something you're dreaming. And you go, well, why am I? It might be some pirate fantasy or something. Why am I? It's because maybe I have a library of all these pirate books and I'm reading all this, and so that influences my mind at night, and maybe that's why I'm dreaming that.
You're talking more maybe an epiphany.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that the same thing. You know what I'm talking about.
Maybe we can get Dean Blanchard to do it.
Yeah. Well, he would sponsor that. You know, right now.
We have
Hank Danos.
And Hank Danos.
And then listen, they still got enough money down the bayou in the river parishes that they could pull this off. This would be a great fundraiser. And who would be against this? Because don't you love to see, I don't care if it's kids competing, adults competing, we like to see the best against the best. It doesn't take away from your state championship.
No.
Because you earned that and you won that. But then you're helping the community. You're giving back. You know why I say that, Christian? Because these guys don't all of a sudden, because they won the state championship, quit playing baseball. They do American Legion.
Some may be playing in college somewhere. It's a great idea. What I think about, too, is what Wayne Stein was able to do at St. Charles Catholic. I mean, you are filling the moccasins of a living legend in Frank Monica. He wins a state football championship
and baseball.
And a baseball championship same year. Think about that particular deal, man. You're on Frank, and yesterday Tim brought it up about how you see Frank's influence. Frank was a baseball player at Nicholls State. He actually beat Ole Miss, and Archie was playing.
And you know, everyone's always bitching about the politics, left, right, this, that, no. This would be something good. If you're a politician and wants to do something right for the community, come on, pull some strings and get this done. Come on, common sense.
Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrett, Christian Clark is next, Pelicans beat writer for the Times-Picayune and New Orleans Advocate. He's a gem. Christian Clark joining us now here on Sports Talk. Bobby, Mike, and Christian, Pelicans beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. The Pelicans get the 8th overall pick in the NBA draft after last night's lottery, and that was the pick of the LA Lakers. Christian, how are you, and how do you feel about how the Pelicans did last night with the 8th pick?
Hey, guys, I'm doing pretty well. I mean, like a lot of people, I was sitting there, you know, hoping they hit on that 1-4 chance of jumping into the top four. But it's still pretty sweet, you know, knowing they're going to have a pretty good pick in this draft, and it's on the Lakers.
You know, yeah. And, Christian, you did a great job, and I'm just going to name a few players. But you have to have one. Okay, it's your time to pick, and they would be all available. Keegan Murray from Iowa. Jeremy Shokin, if I'm pronouncing it
Sohan.
Right. Sohan from Baylor. Johnny Davis from Wisconsin. Benedict Mathurin from Arizona. Malachi Branham from Ohio State.
He's not Mathurin, Bobby.
No, I said Mathurin. I don't know.
But it's close. You're in that neighborhood.
M-A-T-H-U-R-I-N.
Christian knows who you're talking about.
Yeah. So I watch him play at Arizona. Who's your favorite, though? You only can pick one out of all that group.
Well, hey, I mean, the draft lottery is only yesterday, so we got plenty of time for pronunciations. But I think I'm taking right now Benedict Mathurin, subject to change. But, I mean, I think he's a guy who two seasons at Arizona, you know, showed he's a reliable three-point shooter, 6'6", kind of shooting guard. You know, a good shooter, you know, standing still or off movement. And I think the thing that's exciting about him, too, is he's got – some pretty special athleticism. He's a guy who could just, like, jump up at the rim and just dunk it on you. So I think, you know, that combination of the outside shooting ability, a pretty good frame, and then some athleticism, I mean, he could definitely do some stuff on the fast break, is pretty appealing to me.
Now, Christian, I think you wrote this, and, boy, it just shows you the day and age we live in, that look like Keegan Murray, 21 years of age, 6'8". He ranked first in the Big Ten in scoring and fourth in the nation, basically 23.5 points. And you said he's likely to be one of the oldest players selected in the lottery, and he's 21.
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, it's insane. I mean, I think he's going to be 22, you know, before the start of this next season. But it is just the day and age we live in. I mean, I think Zion was 18 when the Pelicans took him. I mean, I think Kyrie Lewis Jr., he spent two seasons at Alabama, but he was only 19 when the Pelicans took him. I mean, Herb Jones was what, you know, the old age of 22, 23. I mean, you know, Keegan Murray, I mean, really nice player. I mean, I think, you know, like you talk to the Italian evaluator people and they're just like, he does a lot of things well, but like, does he do one thing really, really well that'll translate to the NBA level? And I think that's kind of where their questions are, but I mean, it's hard to see him like failing at the NBA level. I mean, I think he'll be an NBA player for a long time.
Christian, would the Pelicans be enticed to move that pick at all?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, like, kind of the intel I've gathered in the past couple weeks is, like, they would be very happy if they were picking, you know, in that 8-9 range. They obviously end up 8. They feel like there's a lot of nice players there. But, you know, well, I mean, David Griffin has just consistently shown that he's willing to do a lot of creative maneuvering. And obviously, you know, they used their draft pick last year to pull off a trade. So I would say it's unlikely, but I just can't rule it out because this front office, they just like to try some stuff.
One of the things, Christian, I think, you know, I know Bob and I talked about this, that if you look at all the players, best player in this draft, to me, is Jaden Ivey from Purdue. Now, again, sometimes what you're looking for and need or you want a big man gets into the deal. But, man, Ivey, to me, seems like a cut above. And I'm not trying to compare him to John Morant, but, you know, that's a big comparison. But, man, he is special as a player. And does anybody in this draft class that has that special feature to him, it's him. I like Jabari Smith from Auburn, but he doesn't overwhelm you. And, man, Holmgren, boy, he's got a sweet stroke. Man, he can – it is pretty to come out of his hands. But he's so damn skinny. I mean, you know, and he's got great length. And so he'll block a lot of, you know, balls up in the air, and he'll shoot well. But, man, I don't know about the physicality part with him. And so I think there's going to be a lot of, once you get past like 1, 2, 3, and 4, kind of a bunch up of players all sort of graded how you grade them, where I think the Pelicans may say he was really like maybe the 5th guy on our board and we got him where we got him at 8.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I feel like there's kind of, you know, a clear top 3 in this draft: Jabari Smith Jr., Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero. I mean, I would be pretty shocked if those aren't the top three guys taken off, you know, the board in some order. And I mean, it's crazy how much you hear, even like people are split on like, well, who's the best player of those
yeah,
three? I mean, you hear
exactly.
You hear all 3 of those names. I mean, honestly, my personal preference is if I was just like starting a team from scratch, probably Paolo Banchero. You know, just because of the size and like the fluidity, and I think he's going to be a pretty good passer. But man, there's some strong arguments, and I agree too. I mean, really, a lot of things can happen from 4 on. I mean, like you look at the team at number 4, the Sacramento Kings. Like they've kind of got a speedy, explosive point guard on their roster already, and De'Aaron Fox. Like they want to add Jaden Ivey, who I love his burst, his athleticism, alongside of him, even though it's not the cleanest fit. So I think you could see a lot of things happen after from 4 on.
One of the things, too, Christian, is I think I've heard this from a couple of NBA scouts that they say the guy to watch is A.J. Griffin from Duke because of his shooting skills.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was a guy as a freshman at Duke, like 44% from 3 on a pretty, you know, high volume.
Yep.
I mean, they're just like a guy who absolutely just stroked it. I mean, if you, like, turn on the tape, it's kind of a funky shooting motion. Like, he's a bigger kid. You know, I think 6'6", but like he has this really wide base. Like it looks kind of weird, but it goes in. I mean, obviously very consistently. And I think the question some people have too is like, well, what else does he bring you? And two, I mean, he was injured for 2 of his 4 years in high school too. So there's some of that, but like, I mean, unquestionably the guy just shot the heck out of it in his one season at Duke.
Well, I don't know. I look at the college 3-point line versus the NBA. I mean, come on. If you could shoot, you should be able to make that. To me, that makes a big difference, the 3-point line in the NBA versus college. Now, you have to be able to get stronger and be able to adjust and spot up or be able to create your own shot off the dribble. But talking about creating and making things happen, Christian, have you ever thought maybe you would see this? It just shows you that the NBA is truly international. When you look at the MVP race in the top 3, ain't nobody from damn America. I mean, okay, when you look at the Joker, he's from Serbia. And then you got Giannis from Greece. And then you got Joel Embiid from Cameroon in Africa. And I'm not even talking about Luka, who's from Slovenia.
Yeah.
I mean, so – You know, in this draft, somebody's going to come about that we don't know because we're not familiar. And I know a big challenge to the scouts dealing with COVID and all that. But you know, there's some damn international European player that, oh my God, look how good this guy is, and we don't even know of.
Yeah, fun fact for you. There's a guy in this draft named Nikola Jovic. Obviously, there's already Nikola Jokic. There's a Nikola Jovic in this draft who's a power forward as well. So it's
So where's he from, Christian?
I think he's Serbian. I would have to double check it, but I believe he's from same country as Jokic.
Damn, but when you look at Serbia, if they went to split up Yugoslavia, in the 90s and all that, you look at Slovenia, you look at, remember Petrovic, he got killed in a car wreck, he was unbelievable with the Nets from Croatia, then you look at the Serbians, per capita, that's where the basketball player's at in Yugoslavia.
And you look at it, Benedict is from Haiti.
Yeah, but that's in the Western Hemisphere.
It is, but it's not American too.
No, it's not American. You look, listen. If you can become an outstanding Haitian player, because they don't even got no damn nets on the rim.
Yes, my thing is, it might be a lot tougher doing it there.
A foul's not a foul unless you're on the ground. No.
And same thing with Sochan. You look at him; he's from Poland, but he grew up in England.
No, it's unbelievable, Christian, how basketball has truly become
international now.
I mean, now I guess they'll find you no matter where you're at.
I mean, that's honestly one of the things I like about it, that it kind of is becoming this global game. I mean, before I was here in New Orleans, I covered the Nuggets kind of part-time for a couple seasons. And, a couple members of their front office, including the number two guy who's now running the show in Chicago, Arturis Karnisovas, was from Lithuania. So, the front office was – majority of it was, people from Europe. So it is cool, that it is an international game. And, hey, Trajan Langdon, obviously from Alaska, but, incredibly accomplished career in Europe too. So that's, a part of the world he knows very well from a scouting perspective.
Now, Christian, looking at, the NBA as a whole, and you always want hope no matter what franchise. For instance, the Orlando Magic have the number one overall pick. But what is your take when you're looking at from a lottery perspective, that Oklahoma City Thunder, they got the second pick, they got the 12th pick, the only NBA team with two picks in the lottery. So is that something, if you're a fan of the Oklahoma City Thunder, you could be hopeful that they'll have? Because you always say top four or five, and almost you can't miss a second round. It's not like football. Well, that doesn't mean anything. And it can work out. You look at Herb Jones and Alvarado being a free agent. But when you break down, even though you're first round, it doesn't mean you're going to really contribute at the highest level in the NBA. But what is your take where Oklahoma City's at in the lottery with the second and the 12th pick?
Well, I saw some videos going around yesterday of just, a Thunder fan base watching party. And, they were absolutely ecstatic when they got the number two pick. I mean, I think, based on kind of what I've heard, I think if Chet Holmgren is there at number two, I think that's probably a guy that they take, and that would be a really interesting fit. I mean, fascinated to see how Chet does at the NBA level. There's a lot to like, and there's a lot to make you say, is this going to work out? And number 12, too, I'll be interested to see, do they try to move up from there and use some of the draft capital they have in the future to go in the top 10 and get a guy they get or they want?
Houston's another interesting team who is, they got a couple of picks too early on how they revamp it, because that was a team almost basically, we're going to – I don't want to use the word tank, but we're going to knock all this down and we're going to start from scratch. And they got a couple of really nice players now, but they got an opportunity – to also become a team that can add a couple of really good players in this draft class.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Jalen Green, he struggled early on last season, but I thought he had some really nice games as the season went on. And, I think with them, Alperen Şengün, maybe that's a guy you consider a keeper, but if I'm them, I'm just taking the best player available at three.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever is left of Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith Jr., Paolo Banchero, I'm taking that guy to me.
Christian Clark, Pelicans beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Thank you, man. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Christian.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas.
You bet. All right, we'll go right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines for David in New Orleans. Go ahead, David. You're on WWL. David? All right, we'll put David on hold and get to him. We'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby, Mike, and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines are open at 504-260-1870. Are you excited about the Pelicans landing a top 10 pick, eighth overall from the Lakers pick in their trade in last night's lottery? Also, college baseball fans, what do you think of SEC teams canceling the midweek contest? Is it a big deal or not? 504-260-1870. And also, Bobby and Mike, the more and more you look at this offseason for the Saints and the additions they've made, could you make the argument that the defense is better than what it was last year?
I mean, I think so. I look at the depth where we're at. I think the secondary might be one of the best secondaries the Saints have ever had. Now, on paper, but when you look at the depth now that we have at cornerback, and you know I'm a big Jackrabbit fan. You know how the whole thing? But when you look at where Lattimore's at in his career, you look Paulson Adebo, we threw him to the wolves. Look how much he excelled as a rookie. And then you got Bradley Roby. And I'm not talking about C.D. Deuce and how you utilize him.
And Alante Taylor.
Yeah, who we just drafted. So then you look at, like, now how did they come together? But I think on paper, okay, this would be a good question to the audience. Okay, I think we would jump on the bandwagon, like, where are we at lately? Because they're both going to play at a high level. Well, Malcolm's not going to play because Malcolm Jenkins retired. But he played at a high level, won two Super Bowls. Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams. The Ravens are counting on Marcus Williams, considering the safety, Mike, that they drafted.
Kyle Hamilton. So it's a new crew. What you're saying, I'm interested to see how it all sort of meshes, how quickly. Because just like the Ravens change safeties, and it's going to be Marcus and Kyle Hamilton. Now for the Saints is how quickly all this comes together with Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah. I think the big factor here is what's one of the many things that are touted about Tyrann Mathieu. He's a great communicator.
Yeah, that part. But you gotta, I think you gotta just do it.
Yeah,
you gotta have a feel for one another.
And the thing is, they just started to do it. That's why you have OTAs.
That's
and
why you have training camp.
Yeah, the mandatory minicamp.
Preseason, you can whip that out the door. That ain't nothing. No, That's for the young guys.
Because I can tell you, like Honey Badger or Marcus May, they can accomplish in practice without actually the physical contact that you actually can get in a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't do 2-a-days no more, so when you're actually practicing and how you're communicating and you're going full speed, yeah, either you're going to get it quickly or it's a process. It doesn't mean like, oh, we have to get in a real game. No, they played so much football, they don't have to do that. It's all how you're going to communicate, a certain look, certain coverages. That's one thing Malcolm Jenkins brought to the table and with Marcus Williams, is that you didn't see, and Mike, I've said this over and over again, because we said this in the past when the defense really sucked. Who's guarding him?
Yeah, Buster Cover.
They all looking at one another.
Somebody's like 20 yards open, and they all put. I thought you had him. No, you had him. Well, you did not see that with Marcus Williams and Malcolm Jenkins and C.D. Deuce, the whole secondary last year. If we got beat, it was more from a physical standpoint, like that Giants game, giving up those one- and two-play drives. But it wasn't like we weren't there in coverage. We just got beat. So I think as a coach in the NFL to even have a chance.
The same thing in Atlanta late.
Well, the thing is you can take, though, physically getting beat. You have no chance if you mentally get beat.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Come on, we went over that. You have to know what to do, and you have to do it every time. Because if you do it some of the time, it's too late once it happens in a game.
I think the real key is the one thing that Ryan has always stressed is about, and he kind of took this from Pete Jenkins and Coach O, about rotation up front, that I want my top guys, when it's 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes left in the game, that they're fresh. The production and how much longevity in a season can you get out of Davenport? The thing, okay, you had a first-round pick a year ago who, I mean, he hardly started to see. I mean, come on, Peyton didn't hardly see any time. Pasano gets hurt during the season. Now you've brought in a couple of veterans in Kentavious Street and Jalen Johnson, who have played in the NFL at defensive tackle. Onyemata, hopefully you can get 17 games out of him. Cam Jordan's been unbelievable.
Right.
The one game he missed, he really shouldn't have missed.
Because of COVID.
Because
yeah.
of the COVID situation. And then you throw in Carl Granderson. Tell me another time in the Saints' history you've had that much talent and depth. Now, you might say, oh, well, I remember with the starting lineup. Okay, tell me who the backups were.
Yeah, the backups. No, and the game
That's a different game.
And the game has changed because you don't want to – Cam Jordan is like a unique like player where
– And then we were starting to wonder if he was getting long in the tooth, and he turned it on.
Well, and
he
we
flipped the switch.
Now, they're smart now. They're not playing him 90% of the snaps, 90-plus percent of the snaps. But – That's highly unusual that the human being, how your makeup, is that you can bring it in the fourth quarter like you bring it in the first quarter when you're all fresh. Well, Cam was able to do that overall. But now they've dialed it back where he's not having 90% of snaps. So the one thing, if you make a team, and let's say like the Saints and how we're structured and Coach Nielsen, that if you're in the rotation, okay, you might not step on the field. It might be the middle of the second quarter. But you know when you step on the field, you're a freaking starter. So what if you didn't start the game? You can't be the weakness. You can't be the liability if you're in that rotation because you are now a starter because you're playing with the defense when it counts.
And that's up, a good point.
And you're set up to
that's
have success because the offensive line doesn't rotate. They're not fresh. In the fourth quarter?
No, nobody
you know,
does
I never right. I never understood that.
Because
continuity, yeah.
I've talked to even Kevin Mawai, who comes to our Louisiana line camp. I said, Kevin, why don't they? He's like, Mike, it's so much communication, so much knowing what that guy alongside of you is going to do every snap. Now, he said, that's the disadvantage because what you brought up, he says, you know, okay, that guy that's going to take 12 to 16 snaps, man, he's playing all out because I don't know if I'm going to get another chance.
Right.
So now I'm on the field. They're not going to pull me unless I get hurt. And so I think a lot of it has to do with communication and continuity.
Yeah, communication and continuity. But from a physical standpoint and as far as being in shape, maybe some coach could call up and educate me on this. I still don't know the answer. And I guess it has to be communication.
Yes, yes.
But why – from a physical standpoint and conditioning standpoint, why are defensive linemen allowed to get tired, but offensive linemen aren't allowed to get tired?
They do,
but they don't ever come out. They got to suck it up.
Okay, yeah. What did your old coach tell one of the players?
No,
coach
I never.
Perry.
Ralph Perry and Sal LaFouche, we had this stud, David Dillon. He made All-State linebacker, fullback. He never got off the field. Yeah, God rest his soul. You know, he died in his like late 40s, but I can tell you, David Dillon, he was so tired one game. It's hot and humid. It's in September. We're on the bayou, and he's looking at Coach Perry, and he's like, breathing hard. And he's like, and he goes, Coach, you got to tell you, I need a rest. He goes, Dillon, get back in there. I'm going to tell you when you're tired. You're not tired. He wanted him on punt coverage, kickoff coverage.
Offense, defense.
He never got off the field. He goes, no, you're not tired. I'm going to tell you when you're tired.
That
get out there. You're still the best option.
That's a Ralph Perry story.
That sounds like a Marine drill instructor. I'll let you know. It's mind over matter. I don't mind that you don't matter. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby, Mike, and Christian back here on Sports Talk to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Jimmy and Gretna, what's going on, Jimmy? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, Jim.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, me and my wife are driving to the New Kids on the Block concert tonight, man. We're stuck in some bad traffic. Look, she wanted to listen to some 80s music to pregame. I switched it back to you guys. I got to keep it real.
Well,
New Kids on the Block. There is a huge line around the stadium, believe me.
Well, Jimmy, do you go to everything?
No. I live my life. I told you, man. No, I look.
Hey, you got to keep them happy.
Interest,
you got
to
keep it happy.
I told you that at the UNO game.
Yeah, by Jimmy at the UNO game, and Jimmy goes to everything.
Jimmy, the pandemic must have been really tough on you.
I go to a lot of stuff. Yeah. I like, hey, right. Look, Bobby's cool. I picked his brain on a lot of. He's a smart guy. He's a historian. Look, I'll just say, I don't pay interest on stuff. It frees me up time-wise. I'll leave it at that. I don't drive a fancy car, man. I don't live in a fancy neighborhood. So Hey, look, I want to say this about Cam Jordan. Y'all were talking about him earlier. He impressed me, man. I thought he was, like you were saying, Mike, getting long in the tooth. You know, I hope he can continue what he did last year into this year.
He flipped it last year.
What do you first? I mean, look, our secondary looks solid on paper. Obviously, that's the strength of the team. You know, you look at our offensive line. We just got this kid from Northern Iowa. They're investing there. We have a strong offensive line. We got that wide receiver core now with Landry and Olave. But you're looking at the linebackers. You're looking at the D line and maybe the running backs as weak spots. Possibly.
No. Defensive.
Running back, yes.
Okay.
Running back.
No. Linebacker. No.
Defensive line is a strength for your football team. It really. You talk about across the board, from the starters and then the depth behind that. Man, I can't remember another Saints team loaded like this. They really good along that defensive line. Running back's another issue.
Yeah, I would say
go get Darrell Williams. And I know they've had some conversations with Darrell, former John Arrett star. Man, I watched him as a quarterback at John Arrett. Then he got switched over to running back. He knows his role. He's a backup running back, terrific receiver coming out of backfield. He caught 47 passes last year with the Chiefs. Okay, he understands his role. He was sitting behind Leonard Fournette, Darius Geis. Got it. He got it. He understood. Hey, when I'm in the game, I'm going to do. He's a north-south guy that's a really good receiver coming out the backfield. I try to help my running back core. It's not going to cost you a ton of money. I would go sign Darrell Williams.
Well, yeah, you have to because just marking, we don't know what's going to happen with Alvin Kamara. I would say running back and the tight end position. Now, we don't know what Taysom, how he's going to work out truly as tight end. I think he's going to work out, but we still don't know that.
But you don't know that.
You don't really know that. That's one thing. We got so spoiled as far as the production. One of the greatest combinations in NFL history, Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham. Oh, my God. Think about that. Drew Brees sometimes would be in the press box watching. He's throwing it to Jimmy Graham. There's no way he's open. I mean, Drew's throwing them open like an alley-oop, whatever. I don't know if we'll ever see that again, but I'm still worried about the tight end position.
Who do you trust more, Juwan Johnson or Troutman at tight end?
I still want to give Troutman a chance.
You know, Troutman is strange because of the fact he'd become a really good blocker, and he was noted for being a receiver, not a blocker.
Yeah, but you can't drop no damn passes.
You can't drop easy
catches. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.